When my husband and I were still in graduate school, we decided that we needed to do a project together, something that was other than graduate school. And so we decided to maintain a part of the Ozark Highlands Trail in northwest Arkansas. The instructions from the Forest Service, when we told them that we would be willing to help, were fairly simple. We were to keep a 7-mile section of this hiking trail clear of trash and whatever overgrowth blocked the trail. The Forest Service told us that any heavy lifting, like trail reconstruction or use of a chainsaw, would be done by them. All we needed to do was to keep the trail clear and in reasonably good working order. That was it. But those simple instructions didn't translate into simple action, it turns out. We quickly discovered that trail maintenance is not hiking. Picking up trash takes a painstaking amount of time. It is hard to notice trash, let alone to pick it up, when you are walking along at a very comfortable hiking pace. And then there is the fact that forests are alive. Plants grow all the time, even in the winter. And in that part of northwest Arkansas, where the soil is rich and it is warm and humid most of the year, the forest really does grow all the time. So despite our efforts, a new small forest of trees would greet us every time we would go back for trail maintenance. And so it was, this dance with us and the forest and the trail that brought us together. Preparing the way for hikers is challenging, but wow, it is really hard to prepare the way for God. And isn't that what the prophets keep trying to tell us over and over and over again? John the Baptist picks up on this refrain from Isaiah from so long ago. God is coming into the world. Get ready to receive God. So what does it take for us to get ready to receive Jesus? That's part of the work of Advent, of course. There are the outward and visible signs. Advent wreaths replace conventional calendars and encourage us to mark time in a new way and to seek a new dimension to time. Candlelight brightens these long winter nights, just as it hints at the coming light of Christ into the world. Gifts are shared with friends and strangers alike, just like the Eucharist that we share around this table, the gifts of God for the people of God. And then there are the inward ways that we prepare. We are invited into these innermost places of our being to look honestly at ourselves and at our relationships with each other and with God. And that kind of preparation is not easy. And the gospel makes that clear this morning. John issues this stark warning to anyone who would enter into this work casually. Beware, he warns, bear fruit that is worthy of repentance. Now, I think all of us can agree on that statement. Repentance is about more than words. The kind of repentance that John talks about, it is the kind that brings change that reorients every aspect of our lives. That kind of change manifests itself in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. That kind of change is affirmed in baptism, and it is fed every week around the table through the Eucharist. And that kind of change is what we are about in this place and in our work together with each other. But when John starts talking about axes and felled trees and fire, I want to push back to him. I want to say that language, that particular language around axes and trees being felled and thrown into fires, that language is not helpful. The God that I think we place our hope in is not a God who desires harm. And preparing to greet the Lord who is coming into the world is not a violent act, nor is our spiritual preparation something that is inflicted upon us. That's not how God engages with us. And that's not what divine love is about. So what is John trying to get at this morning? Repentance and lasting change are important. But for repentance to have meaning, first we have to see God so that we can then move toward God. It is hard to find a God, let alone create a space for God, when that space is filled up by only ourselves. New life needs space to grow. Gardeners know this, and parents know it, and God knows it. For Jesus to come into our lives, some of our own clutter has to go. The path to God has to be cleared just a little bit. And I think that's what John is getting at this morning. It's kind of like trail maintenance, but for our souls. And this decluttering, it is not ours to do alone, nor is it God's alone to enact. Instead, we do this sacred work together with each other and in partnership with God. God longs to be partner with us and not taskmaster. And that's when healthy soul maintenance happens. So what keeps you from recognizing Jesus more clearly? What masks itself as God in your world? For me, that kind of deep soul work took on a new meaning when I was in seminary. For me, that shift started with the decision to change seminaries in midstream, in the middle of my first year. Moving from Seattle to New York to Austin in a very short 5-month period of time was not anything that any of us had expected. Nor was the fact that I would make the move to Austin by myself while the rest of my family came back to Seattle. We had to make this difficult decision to spend the next 2.5 years apart from each other, navigating marriage and parenthood with a 1,700-mile divide in between us. And every day I wonder about that decision. How could I have seen God differently when we were thinking about that? And how is God working in the midst of it now to repair relationships and to make those relationships stronger? But that time was about something else. It was about exposing and beginning to dismantle these illusions that I had within my own being. The hubris that I took into the process and wore like armor to protect myself from being hurt. The privilege that I had then and that I still have as I exercise this act of ministry. And the audacity to take so much for granted, especially with the ones who I love the most. With God's help, that underbrush is finally starting to be exposed and cleared. And for that, I am grateful. What's blocking your own image of God right now? What gets in the way of that path that God is creating for you and to you? I will say this. Be willing to lean into those places in your lives that feel off-center, or where there is deep pain, or where there is doubt. That is the place where you will meet God, and together you will prepare a place to receive the Holy One who is coming into this world. That place is where Christ is working through you in this moment. And there's one more thing to say. American painter Edward Hicks, who was famous for the Peaceable Kingdom, painted this amazing painting. It is not only a single painting. It is a painting that it has at least 62 distinct versions of the scene that we heard in Isaiah's reading this morning, this gorgeous, gorgeous reading from Isaiah. Over Hicks's life, that painting evolved many times. When life was good, the characters in that painting took on that same sense of calm and joy. When Hicks's life was full of chaos, the characters in that painting also had this sense of chaos. It looks a little like they are at war with themselves and with anyone else who would engage with that painting. And then in the last print in the series, one that he completed just before he died, all of the characters are at rest. Some of them are calm. Some of them are exhausted. But all of them have finally stopped and are at peace. Those paintings are more than art. They are this visual representation and this visual meditation on how Hicks observed the world and tried to make sense of it, tried to make sense of the messiness that he saw around his life. And in doing so, somehow, he found peace in that work. Somehow, by engaging in the messiness of our lives as well, we too will find peace. The practices of Advent, they are not just for this season. They are our life's work. Every day we prepare to meet Jesus in this place here and now. And as we do that, we discover something else. Jesus is already here waiting for us and waiting to welcome us home to ourselves. That's what this season is about. Oh, come, God, and be with us now. Help set us free from the captivity that keeps us from you. Give us courage to care for the tender places of our souls, just as you care for the whole human family. Nourish us from that eternal root which is you, the source of all life. And to give us hope to know that you, Emmanuel, are God with us now and always. Amen.